I'm Macy Chen.
And I'm David Ball.
You're listening to CFRO, The Pulse, here on Vancouver Co-op Radio 100.5 FM.
We are your independent daily news show, reporting on the front lines in our community.
And we're streaming at thepulse.coopradio.org.
Good morning. It is Monday, August the 17th. On today's show, we're going to hear from the rally and march on Saturday, We Speak Their Names, We March With Rage, organized by the Vancouver Area Network of Drug Users and BC Association of People on Methadone, which held a memorial and broke into Oppenheimer Park through a locked park board fence to remember and eulogize those who have died in the drug war. First up, our news headlines.
Won't you please just stop this war? Oh, won't you please just stop this war? All my sisters and brothers are dying, so won't you please just stop this war?
Saturday saw about 150 drug users and allies break the fence to get into Oppenheimer Park. The blue fence with spiked tops was erected by the park board after the eviction of a homeless tent city there. They spoke hundreds of names over the course of the hour and a half long walk. Here is VANDU President Simona Marsh.
You know, for how many people have died, it's so crazy because all they have to do is give us what we want. You know, if we want to do heroin, give us heroin. If we want fentanyl, give us fentanyl. We want crystal meth. How hard is it? I should be able to put whatever drug in my body that I want. You know, and all these people saying, oh, well, it's not good for you. You, man. Coffee is not good for you. Illegal for one day.
Accompanying them and de-escalating the situation at one point when police threatened to arrest people attending the memorial were Moms Stop the Harm group. Here's Tracy Letts.
We've all lost people in our lives. We've lost, just, you know, there's 10 names on my sheet alone. I would like to see decriminalization, legalization of drugs. We need to band together and support everybody, all our organizations, to kind of push the government to do and change policy.
And that was Tracy Letts with Mom Stop the Harm. Now on Friday, the Vancouver Police Department announced it had made an arrest in the murder of overdose prevention site worker Thomas Donaghy on July 27th. Donaghy was working at the St. Paul's Overdose Prevention Site, run by Rain City. He also worked at the Portland Hotel Society's overdose prevention sites and was beloved in the drug user community. Police say they have arrested a 23-year-old man, Max Hayes, from Victoria, and charged him with manslaughter. And that's our news for today on The Pulse. Welcome back. You're listening to The Pulse on CFRO on Vancouver Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM and online at thepulse.coopradio.org, where you can find all of our previous shows and interviews. You can also download our podcast wherever you get your favorite shows. I'm David Ball. Today's show, we're going to be hearing from the march that took 150 people, drug users and advocates and allies, to hold a memorial and eulogize those lost to the drug war. The march was organized by the Vancouver Area Network of Drug Users, or VANDU, as well as the BC Association of People in Methadone. Here's audio. First up, Iannis Ormond from VANDU. And just to warn you, this segment contains a fair amount of swearing. We have kept in the swearing to reflect accurately what was said during a highly emotional public event.
We're marching to memorialize all those that we've lost in the war on drugs and the war on the poor. Over the last 6 months, it's been almost impossible to hold a public memorial for all of the friends and community leaders, the mentors that we've lost.
For all our loved ones, with our families, and because I know what everybody's going through, and it's the first time I ever... Marcel, my brother, he's the first one in my family to go. And I just want to say, it's not easy. And I still miss my brother. And I wish he was still here. But we need to do a lot more than with all the drug war and all that, and we got to do way more. I don't know what we can do, but what we're doing now is working, and I'm just glad that we got a lot of support for our group here and everything. And I just want to say thank you for everyone that came here. And yeah, I'll be supporting you guys too, and because I know what it's like to lose a family. And yeah, that's all I want to say. Thank you.
The only closest grassed park is fenced up with spikes on the top. It goes to show how much our government is giving us community. Community, what? Where are we supposed to go? We have no choice but to go to the streets. We can't get in there, or else we would. Or maybe we will. We're going to go to the totem pole, and we're going to have a memorial for our friends. We're going to go to a place where we know most of these people who came all the time.
Okay, now we're going to get Iannis to come and do a eulogy for Dave Murray.
So we wanted to have a chance to remember all of those in the neighborhood who we've lost to the war on drugs and the war on the poor. And some of the people that we've lost just in the last few months are, they're all dear to someone. But I wanted to, I'm going to start by giving the eulogy for Dave Murray. As a major blow when we lost Dave. When it comes to his activism, Dave will probably be most remembered for the central role he played in fighting for and winning heroin-assisted treatment. Dave was one of the subjects of the North American Opioid Maintenance Initiative, NAOMI, and the first first heroin prescription trial in North America. Like others enrolled in the trial, he benefited from the stabilizing effects of a predictable, clean dosage of the drug to which he was addicted. And like the others, when the study ended, he was left to his own devices. So they just cut them off after the study and said, oh, I guess you go back to the streets. He fared better than many. He completed an abstinence-based treatment program and became involved in drug user activism following the study. But an unconscionable number of those who had thrived throughout the study, seeing their health improve, reconnecting with family, making plans about the future, died when they were cut off the safe supply. And Dave was determined that it wouldn't happen again. So when we heard about the Salome study, Dave was of the mindset that immediately that we need to organize and we need to have an organized force coming out of the Salome study that would be able to fight to make sure that people weren't cut off of the prescription heroin when the study ended. And that was the origin of SNAP, the Salome NAOMI Association of Patients, which has become this powerful advocacy organization in the neighborhood. For many years working with VanDew and SNAP and the Downtown Eastside Neighborhood Council, whenever and wherever community members were fighting back, Dave was there. With his, and if you knew him, you'll remember this, his newspaper. And it's Susan actually that reminded me of this, that he always had a newspaper under his arm. He'd always read the morning paper. His duct-taped glasses. Dave had a cosmopolitan and internationalist worldview, and we used to talk about the drug war not only in Vancouver, but in Afghanistan, in Mexico, in the Philippines. And the thing I remember that I think I wanted to share most about Dave today was how fucking committed he was to drug war reparations. So not only that we were in the drug war, but there needs to be people, reparations to people and communities that have been ravaged by this war. And his sense of that was that it should extend to countries that have been decimated by this war, like Colombia and Mexico and the Philippines. As a leader, Dave wasn't a commanding or demanding figure. He was soft-spoken. He led by example. To borrow from sports analysis, and Dave liked sports, he was somebody on the team who made everybody around him better. Surprising maybe that Dave could be so giving when his own life was marked by so much loss. Dave suffered many personal losses, including family and friends. In the early 2010s, he lost one of his dearest friends in the neighborhood to a pedestrian strike on Hastings, and that was a lot of the impetus to the struggle at VanDew to get the speed limit changed on Hastings. Not only Dave's personal loss, but he took a lot of leadership in that struggle. And in the fall of 2018, we lost his younger brother, Les, who was also a beloved figure in the drug user liberation movement, to an overdose. So maybe not surprising, but nonetheless wondrous, how someone who had suffered so much loss could fill others with laughter, hope, and courage to fight back. So at Vandy, we finish our meetings by naming those who've passed before us in the war on drugs and by taking a moment of silence to honor and remember them. And Dave's name is going to be spoken in those meetings for many, many years to come. And alongside others who not only are beloved, but such important political leaders of this movement, Bud Osborne, Tracy Morrison, Rafi Balian, Charisse Kouatin, leaders who've shaped and made this movement that continues possible. So rest in power, Dave, and rest in peace.
My name is Scott Neufeld. I'm gonna say a few words from a couple people for a dear friend who passed last Christmas Eve, Sandra, or many people knew her as Sonia or Maria Chekacek. Jewel Chapman wrote this poem for Sandra. Jacandra was our friend. Sandra was our sister. Now she's gone and everyone will miss her. Sandra was always a very hard worker. Now the creator has gone and took her. She was with Suave for many years. Taken unexpectedly, she leaves behind her peers. So many people who cared for our sis. Sandra was our friend who we will all miss. Sandra will forever be in our lives. Her compassion for others will be our guide. Rest in peace, rest in power, Sandra.
Hi people, I'm CD. I'm late partner of Sandra. I want to thank you. She passed away Christmas Eve too. She was a member of Vandu and she's involved in downtown and east side a lot. Everybody knew her, me and her. And I just want to thank you for everybody supported me and all the condolences I got from people. And I found out that you people are my family and friends down here, okay? So thank you, all my relations at home.
You're listening to the march held on Saturday by the Vancouver Area Network of Drug Users here on CFRO 100.5 FM. And another disclaimer that this segment contains a fair amount of swearing.
Next, we're going to have Laura, who's going to come up and give a eulogy for Ken Stewart, who is a beloved Vandu member and also Laurel's brother-in-law. Memorialize Ken next.
So, there is a picture of Ken on the big announcement there for our march. He is, he's flying with the Eagles now. He was my brother-in-law and, wow, I don't think I've cried in a big crowd in a long time, but I'm also holding a picture of my best friend, Charisse, who passed away. But Ken was, he was quiet, but he was not. You would always see him with, either he was reading a book, or he was coloring, He was a really sweet guy. He went way too soon. It's another show of, you know, the drug war and poor health. You know, Ken has only lived in Vancouver for the last, I don't know, I think, you know, 17 years or something. And, you know, in the end, when he, I hate that word, sorry, when he was in the hospital, you know, you could feel him feeling us. And the thing is that's what I have to remember is that, you know, he's not gone. He's just flying somewhere else. He's got better drugs than we do. I'm sure of it. I'm definitely sure of it. As for Charisse Kouatin, she was the president of the British Columbia Association of People on Opiate Maintenance. She was also a supervisor at one of the overdose prevention sites we have down here and was part of the class action lawsuit where we got the money back for clinic fees. One of the reasons why I'm doing the class action lawsuit for the methadose is because Charisse died needlessly. And, you know, she was a big, big, powerful little woman who, to the last day, worked in a wheelchair at Vandu.
One of the members that we lost recently is Dwayne. Next, we're going to call up Elroy.
Dwayne, he was a quiet guy. You know, I used to bring him to my room, have a drink, smoke up, have a few beers. I gotta go home, he says. You stay quiet, Rachel, don't talk to us. Always quiet. I met him in 2007, when I was living at Oppenheimer. Then I met like that, and I've been friends. I call my brother, even Vandu sometimes. they called Dwayne who? Elroy's family. And I miss him right now. About 6 months now he's gone. He was 2 years older than me. And he was from Manitoba. He was Tuxedo. That's all I got to say. I'm going to miss him. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Elvis Wilson. And I know Dwayne for not so long, but I used to have fun talking to him, buying cigarettes. He's always quiet.
I don't understand why God take my friends so early in their life. Lost my own nephews and nieces from drugs to alcohol. So, I'm sorry about all the friends I lost down here. I miss them. Thank you for listening. God bless you all.
Next, I'm going to call up Garth to say a few words about Wade Crawford.
Hey, I'm just here to speak about Wade Crawford. Wade was a member of VANDU and the BC Association of People on Opioid Maintenance for years. I knew him as a friend, but also a comrade. Wade was from Six Nations, and he died just before Canada Day. It's kind of his way of saying, "No, I'm not gonna die on Canada Day. Fuck you, Canada." So Wade's activism goes way back during the OCA standoff, as the media calls it. This is when people wanted to build a golf course on pines that were very important to the people there. And people stood off the Canadian Army and the SQ in Quebec for 78 days. And Wade was on the Mercier Bridge, which connects the island of Montreal. And he held the Mercier Bridge with a bunch of other warriors there in solidarity with the people in the treatment center. That was in 1991. In 2006, Wade was at the land reclamation site in Caledonia, where Six Nations activists were preventing a new housing sort of posh, like condo development thing from taking place on a spot in the Haldimand Tract. And that's his job was there was reconnaissance. Like he was looking out, watching for cops. He moved out here after that in 2006. And he fought against the Olympics with a lot of people who were here. His slogan was "No Olympics on stolen land, no Olympic police state." And he was a part of VANDU and a part of the struggle against the drug war and the war on the poor, but he connected the struggles. Like he connected that warrior struggle for land back to the drug war. And of course, those things should never be apart because the drug war is racist and colonialist from the very beginning. It's baked in. And Wade always reminded us of that. So Wade has gone back home. And I think he always wanted to go back home. And Wade was a well-known, loved guy out here. A smart activist, a fighter, a warrior. And so I'm going to miss him. It was sad. Also, in the last 12 hours, people have sent me a couple other names that they want me to shout out. I hate to do a list, but they couldn't come today. So I wanted to say goodbye to Murray Shaw. I want to say goodbye to Sam Stewart. I wanted to say goodbye to Tanner Wilburn.
I'm going to invite Laura up to say a word for her sister, Starlene.
Hello. My name is Laura Pierre, and I lost my sister, Star. Her name is Starlene. I lost her in a hospital because she had a fist infection from the drugs. They both there was bad drugs that got that there. So that's why we're trying to fight for safe drugs now. So people don't have to go through this anymore. My sister, she was my oldest sister, and now it feels like I'm alone over here without her.
My youngest sister, she died on Vancouver Island, and people gave my youngest sister the wrong kind of drugs when she was drunk and gave her heroin instead of rock. And that stopped her heart right away, so it feels like I stand here alone now without either of my sisters because of the drugs that were given again. So I hope our times will change so we can have safe drugs for people and we don't have to lose them anymore. All my relations.
Thanks, Laura. Next, I'm going to call up Ellie.
I wasn't going to talk about my losses because sometimes I feel like as someone that was on the streets and just got housed a couple years ago now through my work that I don't have the right to. But I'm talking today about a young gentleman that is one of my best friend's sons. And his name is Duncan Grant. I didn't get to know him as much as I would have liked to. Duncan was a kind, indigenous young man. He was in London, and they had put in restrictive guest policies, and I found my best friend, Erica Grant, on the corner outside the London bawling one day. I happened to time it at the exact time that she found out. Duncan was a kind, strong warrior, and I'm going to miss the relationship of the street nephew and the nephew that it could have been. He was always at protests, the first to be beside his mother, and he did everything he could to make the community a better place. I want to honor him, and I want to honor all my street family that has passed. May they rest in spirit and keep up the good fight. On my relation.
Next, we're going to call up Christine, who's going to say some words on behalf of a friend.
I'm just going to say something on behalf of my friend Ray, and who is also a friend of mine through thought. His name is Gurla Rai, and he is not with us anymore, and he is up where it's probably a lot better place than it is here. And he's probably really missed by his family and friends, and that's all I really have to say.
Thanks, Christine. I'm going to call up Miles to share a few words about a Bandu member that we lost, Arthur.
I'm here to talk about a dear friend of mine, Arthur Lycus. A lot of you might have known Arthur. I only knew Arthur about 3 years altogether, but in those 3 years, it seemed like I knew him for 20. He was really open. He talked about a lot of things. Everybody knew him on the street. Everybody. He'd been in Vancouver for over 40 years. He knew where everything was when we'd go on a road trip on the bus to go get booze. We drank rum and alcohol together. So we go to all the dollar stores, try and find which one wasn't out of Robbie. But we get out of the downtown east side once in a while so we didn't have to hear sirens going to pick up dead brothers and sisters or try and save them. We were just months apart in age, so that was pretty cool. He just lived down the hall from me. So we became fast friends. Some of my good thoughts about him is he has another buddy that knew him for 40 years. I was hoping he'd be here to speak today, but I couldn't find him. He may be in the hospital himself. But he told me a story about him and Arthur going to New West, and he used to live out there for years, so he knew a lot of people. And his friend, his name's Rodney, started complaining that Don't go to New West with him because it takes you about an hour to go a block because he knows so many people. And so he was that kind of guy. He'd talk about people. We'd take care of each other when we got drunk. He had a lot of health issues. He joined the Vandu and got on the board and stuff. And I guess one of his most upsetting moments was when his health went downhill so bad that he couldn't make the meetings anymore and do the things that he wanted to do. He was a friend to everybody, you know. He was just, we used to have a movie night at his place. We'd, a movie night or a concert. He loved Steve Earle, so we'd get everything ready, get our booze ready, joints ready, cigarettes ready. We had a lot of money, so that was cool. And we'd put on Steve Earle and pretend we were at a concert. Sing to the songs. He knew the words to every song that he ever listened to. The guy was amazing that way. Yeah, it was just, he was such a strong man, one of the strongest men I know. Despite his health issues, he'd sit there and he could barely move, and he'd say, come on, let's go, we got to get out for a while. And he always slept with his door open. He was that honest. He got ripped off a lot, bitch about it a bit, but still slept with his door open. I used to close it when I left there if he was passed out, but he'd open it again. He was just that kind of guy, you know. He'd be a bit violent, I'd be a bit violent. When I was being violent, he'd smart me up, and when he was being violent, I'd smart him up. he was a pretty neat guy. Became a quick brother of mine, so. He was known for escaping from St. Paul's. So he escaped one day, come knocked on my door, just lived about four doors down from him, come knocked on my door, he still had his hospital garb on. He goes to me, is there any meetings today? I said, yes, there is. So he got dressed, took his hospital stuff off, and then later his outreach workers found him, drug him back to the hospital. At least he didn't die on the street. He died peacefully in his sleep at St. Paul's. Unfortunately, there's so many people here that don't die that way. They die in an alley. They die on the street. There's nobody there to be with them, you know. I see it all the time. I could do an all-day memorial for all the people that we've lost just in this last year. It's crazy. Anyhow, this is to my brother, Arthur. I know you're here. You're in my heart.
So just take a minute for people to say the names of folks you want to remember in the moment of silence.
Kevin Carmichael.
Where are you?
Michael.
Murray Shaw. Sam Stewart.
Andrew. Marilyn.
Murray.
So we're going to take this moment of silence for those and many more we've lost in the war on drugs.
And that was Saturday's rally organized by the Vancouver Area Network of Drug Users.
And that's our program for CFRO The Pulse,
your independent news show reporting on the front lines in our community.
Every weekday, 7 a.m. here on Vancouver Co-op Radio.
Find our previous podcasts and interviews at thepulse.coopradio.org.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.